Hey there, folks. Welcome to Rock and Rally Tennis, where it's all tennis, all the time. I'm James Lynn. Follow us on Twitter at Rock and Rally. That's rock underscore and underscore rally. And on Facebook at facebook.com/rockandrallytennis. Rock and Rally Tennis podcast episode number 157 is brought to you by CareerWonder.com, the ultimate career resource site featuring video interviews of professionals from a wide array of industries, sharing the stories, journeys, and insights about their careers and jobs at CareerWonder.com. Welcome to our 2019 French Open preview. The year's second Grand Slam is set to begin next week. As usual, there's no shortage of intriguing storylines. For the women, parity is again the main headliner. Now consider that we are halfway through 2019 and only two players, Petra Kvitova and Karolina Pliskova, have won more than one title this year. So we're going to head into yet another Grand Slam without a clear women's favorite. As has been the case over the past couple of years, the winner could come from a pool of about two dozen or so contenders that include Osaka, Kerber, Kvitova, Pliskova, Halep, Stevens, Svitolina, Bertens, Barty, Serena, Sabalenka, Muguruza, and others. Now that said, my top three favorites to win the 2019 French Open are Naomi Osaka, Sloane Stephens, and defending champion Simona Halep. Osaka will be trying to win her first French Open and third straight major. She is the reigning U.S. Open and Australian Open champion and current world number one. Now, Osaka has proven to be a prime-time player on the biggest stages. Even though clay is not her best surface, I believe she is one of the few players who can defend exceptionally well on any surface, and along with her firepower can turn defense into instant offense. Her form has been a bit spotty since winning the Australian Open in January, but that's actually nothing new for Osaka. She was not playing great tennis heading into the last two Grand Slams, but managed to find her top form in time to win both majors. So I wouldn't be surprised if she was able to do it again. As far as Sloane Stephens, you know, I put her in a similar category as Osaka. Now, I've talked about this in previous podcasts. Like Osaka, Stephens defends exceptionally well and transitions seamlessly from defense to offense. She employs a wide variety of shots, spins, pace, trajectories, and angles. The challenge for Stephens has been bringing that grit and intensity to each and every tournament, something that's been a little inconsistent since she won the U.S. Open in 2017. And again, similar to Osaka, Stephens has shown a penchant for performing on the biggest stages. I mean, she did reach the final of last year's French Open, where she lost to Halep in three sets. And speaking of Simona Halep, she is coming off of a very early exit last week at the Italian Open. However, we should expect to see her late in the second week of the French. Halep is the defending champion after all. She also seems to be doing her best to take the pressure off of herself. At least, she's trying to. At her pre-tournament press conference earlier this week, she said that because she's already won the title last year, everything now is a bonus. Well, we'll see whether that mindset pays off. And real quickly, regarding Serena, Serena has been battling injuries and has not played a whole lot this year, so her form and conditioning will likely not be optimal. However, it'd be foolish to count her out. I think if Serena gets to the second week, well, anything can happen. The reality is the women's tour currently lacks a dominant champion, and that's okay. You know, I'm finally beginning to enjoy its parity and depth, even though it can be frustrating at times to see so many of the top seeds exit early from a Grand Slam or other big tournaments. But there's always plenty of great tennis and interesting storylines courtesy of new and seasoned players, many of whom are on the cusp of a major breakthrough. It's exciting to watch it all unfold. For the men, I believe Nadal, Djokovic, or Thiem will be holding the trophy in a couple of weeks' time. Nadal is again the player to beat at Roland Garros. Sure, he finally won his first clay court title this year last week in Rome. Nadal had uncharacteristically lost three straight semifinals on clay in Monte Carlo, Barcelona, and Madrid. Three tournaments that he has won a total of, wait for it, 27 times, 11, 11, and 5 respectively. In fairness, he has been dealing with a leg injury for most of this year. Now, I thought Nadal's court movement was subpar in Monte Carlo and Barcelona. It was noticeably better in Madrid, and then finally in Rome last week, he appeared to be back to kind of where we're accustomed to seeing him, en route to winning his ninth Italian Open title. Now, Nadal heads into the French Open with solid momentum and confidence. And the fact is, if Nadal is healthy and moving well, then he should be favored to win his 12th French Open title. You know, he may not be as heavy of a favorite as in years past, but he is still the player to beat. Djokovic has played well of late. after winning the Australian Open in the beginning of the year. He had a rather lukewarm spring on the hard courts, failing to get deep at Indian Wells in Miami. But he won on clay in Madrid and reached the final in Rome last week. Now, even though Nadal will be the favorite to win the French Open, I believe Djokovic is a very close second favorite. Djokovic holds a 28-26 head-to-head record versus Nadal and is one of only two players to have defeated Nadal at the French Open. Now, if Djokovic wins, it will be his 16th Grand Slam singles title, putting him just one behind Nadal and four behind Federer. More importantly, a second French Open singles title will make Djokovic the only one of the big three to have won all four majors at least twice, and only the second man to achieve this feat in the Open era. In addition, he will have completed the Djokovic Slam for the second time. So there's certainly a lot of history to be made. Thiem is arguably one of the top two or three clay court players in the world right now, right there with Nadal and Djokovic. Now, Thiem possesses one of the most explosive ground games in men's tennis today. He also has youth on his side. Thiem will turn 26 in September. In contrast, Nadal will celebrate his 33rd birthday in early June, and Djokovic just turned 32 this past week. Now, there's no debate as to whether Thiem can beat Nadal or Djokovic on clay. Thiem has notched some impressive victories over both of them. Even though he's lifetime 4-8 versus Nadal, all four of those wins were on clay. And he's 2-6 versus Djokovic, but both of those wins were on clay. Now, Thiem has reached at least the semifinals of the French Open since 2016. He made it to the final in 2018, losing to Nadal in straight sets. Now, if there's a question surrounding Thiem, it's whether his brutally physical all-out style of play will hold up on the slow clay courts in Paris over 7 matches in 2 weeks. Each of his French Open losses over the past 3 years were in straight set fashion, where Thiem seemed to run out of gas by that point in the tournament. So we'll see. Now, if I had a dark horse pick, it would be Tsitsipas, who just beat Nadal on clay in Madrid a couple of weeks ago. Tsitsipas lost to Djokovic in the Madrid final, but he does have a win over Djokovic, which was at the 2018 Rogers Cup on hard court. And Tsitsipas has beaten Thiem on clay twice in their head-to-head matchups. Now, as I talked about in podcast episode number 136, Tsitsipas may be only 20 years old, but I believe he is the real deal. He continues to climb in the ranking from number 91 at the start of 2018 to currently number 6 in the world. At 6'4", Tsitsipas has the height, reach, and power in his game. But what I like most about Tsitsipas' game is the intelligence and awareness with which he plays. He also plays with an efficiency that reminds me, dare I say, a bit of Federer. For me, the question with Tsitsipas at this stage of his development is how he will hold up. Remember, you've got to win 7 best 3 of 5 matches on clay. Regardless, Tsitsipas is definitely one to watch. Well, a quick comment regarding Federer. Of course, he'll be playing the French Open for the first time since 2015. You know, a knee injury kept him out of the field in 2016, and he elected to skip the clay court seasons the past 2 years, citing prudent load management. Now, Federer has not played on clay in a couple of years, in Madrid and Rome, he showed he still has a tremendous clay court game. The biggest question regarding Federer is not whether he can still play on the surface, it's whether he will hold up physically. As I talked about in podcast episode number 154, at 37, going on 38 years old in August, I believe there are now a lot of players who can physically wear him down and beat him on clay. Now, I don't have any expectations for Federer at the French Open. I believe it will be a good tournament for him if he makes it to the second week. As I've said previously, I'm just happy to see Federer back playing the French Open again. Folks, there is so much to look forward to over these next couple of weeks. To mention a few, Osaka can make it 3 majors in a row. Djokovic can achieve the Djokovic Slam for the second time and in the process complete the career Grand Slam twice over, a feat that in the Open era only Rod Laver has achieved. Nadal can win his 12th French Open title and 18th major overall and get within 2 of Federer. Or maybe we will finally have a non-Big 3 men's major champion. Gasp. Enjoy the 2019 French Open. Well, that's all for this episode, folks. Thanks for joining us at Rock and Rally Tennis. Please subscribe to our podcast at rockandrallytennis.com. I'm James Lynn. See you next time.